streaming your own station's content? Then look no further and head over to all the W's simplecast.co.uk. Easy web streaming. That's all the W's simplecast.co.uk.
Follow us on Twitter at Channel Radio 2. Channel 2 Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunk Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. Bear with me, technology is failing us again today. Okay, can you hear me now? Yay, let's give it a whack, that always normally works. I didn't work this time, I'm whacking it again.
Mike, not me.
Yeah, no, I'm whacking Richard. If it doesn't work, hit the man next to you, make him work it work. It is Friday the 25th. Of January. How did that happen? Is it literally
nearly Christmas?
Okay, get out now.
too soon.
Way too soon. But is it a bit too late to be saying Happy New Year?
I don't think so. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Exactly. Well, we haven't seen each other, so we can say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We'll keep it going until at least February, I reckon. But it is, yeah, can you believe it? End of January already. And as you can hear, I am joined in the studio today. Our fabulous co-host is our security expert, Richard Bell.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. I love using that. He's my security expert, yes. Really, but our security expert. And in the studio, we have our lovely guest, Tracy Ferguson.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome back, Tracy. It's lovely to have you. And Tracy has brought an extra person with her today.
The extra.
Aww. She's an extra, who is a wonderful person in her own right. And is also with Tracy today is the wonderful, gorgeous, amazing Lisa Settle.
I'll pay you later.
Yeah, the evening. Or as she introduced herself to Richard this morning, Lisa Settle.
So dramatic.
Like, the Lisa Settle.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
It's great. No, you should. Why not?
I was just trying to add the extra information so that he could...
I got all the information I needed.
He could remember our little conversation earlier.
On air. You say little.
Well, yeah. It's too round.
Don't start. Okay, stop now.
Too soon for boobs.
There he goes. You know, we have some making up to do after the last show you was on, Richard. Which ended up in all of us in hysterics.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I was sober. I'm not
used to. To be fair, that's probably...
the first time I've done.
Well, and even if you was sobering, yeah. You've been out on the tiles the night before.
The night before, yeah.
Yeah, so Lisa remembers everything.
I remember it well.
So we have got a great packed show for you today. So we're going to be talking security. We're going to be talking relationships. We're going to be talking business. We've got loads of stuff. Plus, we've got some great events to share. We do want to hear from you out there in the business world. Are you listening? Let us know, because we like to know we're not just talking to ourselves. We like to know somebody's listening out there. We have had some shout out requests, which we'll do in a minute. But do give us a tweet at BunkerExtra, #BeExtra. You can give us a call in the studio. We're always dying for somebody to give us a call in the studio. So call us on 01233 220035. Tweet us, then phone us, because I can't never see the phone buzzing. So we need to know. Watch it, people, in case it starts buzzing today. Today's the day. I feel it. And also, you can always email us at any time if you'd like to come on the show, if you've got an event to share with us, at bunkerextra@gmail.com. Now, last week's show, actually, I must admit, was a really good show. We had co-host Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and our guests were the McManuses, Amy and Brad McManus. And it was really great because we were talking business, and also, you know, getting up to date with what's going on in the digital world, which, to be fair, they said it's updating all the time. But we were looking at what's coming up, what's going on, and what, you know, what people need to be aware of. So it was really great. And they did dispel the myth, and they said that Google does actually know everything. So I had to ask the question because Paul believes it does. So I wanted to prove him wrong. But no, they said, actually, no, Google knows everything.
In the old days, you used to say it was the Oracle.
Yeah.
You'd refer to someone knowing everything as the Oracle. Yeah. But now you just say, it's Google.
But quite surprising, actually. They were also, what they were looking at and we were covering was, actually, Google does know everything. And there's a website, I'll have to get it from them again. But you can, it's a Google site, and you can put in your details and it will tell you everything it thinks it knows about you, even to your sex, your age, your preferences, and
that's
all that type
scary.
Of thing.
It is very scary.
Because it just it's tracking all of your, what you do online, and, you know, any adverts you look at, any shopping sites you look at, all that type of thing. You can turn it off, so it can't track you, but you just need to know how to.
Do we know how to?
I can't remember, no. But as Amy, exactly. But as Amy said, it's quite interesting because they try to catch Google out, you know, get them to see if, you know, what am I today? Am I a man? Am I a woman? How old am I? but it is out there. But if you did miss that show, it was a very lively show. We had great input from everybody. Go to the bizradio.co.uk website, hit on the extra tab, and all the previous shows are there. And last week's show was show 87. We are fast approaching our 100th show.
Wow.
Another excuse to have bubbles on the radio station. I love it. So, Richard, anyway, what have you been up to? I feel like I haven't seen you for ages.
It's been a while, isn't it?
It has.
What have we been up to? Well, in 10 Intelligence, we've just come out of an internal review to see whether we're matching our customers' expectations and how we can build for the future. So that's been really interesting and really good fun as well. We've been recruiting because we need to be resource ready for some big plans that we've got going forward, which, you know, is not different from any other organisation. But I've been spending a lot of time with clients, certainly more locally in Kent, dealing with or talking to them about what the pain looks like should they be affected by a form of attack. Now, it doesn't have to be worst case scenario. We were just talking before the show went on air around the phishing type of attacks. Now.
And we're going to cover that in a bit as well to sort of give more in depth. So I guess it's just business as usual, really, isn't it?
It is.
The bad guys are out there. We need to be protected.
Security is pretty dull. It's like most operations.
I get pretty dull.
It's, you know, you have to try and... It's interesting, you know, last week's show was about the technologies and the digital age and stuff. But of course, equally, security's got to keep up with that and your privacy and, you know, knowing that Google knows everything. Well, if they know it, who else knows it? And all of those type of things. And, you know, that is quite a daunting and scary place for people to start thinking. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I and the rest of the team do is try and demystify a lot of that sort of stuff and really hone in on the real risk aspect.
Yeah, no, it's good to cover. So so we're going to have our security expert spot in a little bit, but we have got some shout outs and we have got some events we want to tell you all about because there's, you know, it's another year and there's loads more great events going on out there. We have had a shout out request from the lovely Kate Mirren at Athelbray. That's at Athelbray Limited on the Twitter. Bunker Extra, delighted the Bunker team are coming to the quiz night on the 4th of April at Chilston Park. Can you please give us the event another plug for the show? It's £25 per team, 6 to 8 people, fun, entertainment, laughs, drinks and nibbles. And all proceeds are going to Bladder Cancer UK. Yes, we do have a team. No, we don't know anything. So if you come along, you've got a good chance of beating
talk
us.
Talk for yourself.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Paul, Lisa suggests, so we've got somebody else with brains. So me and Gemma have said we're terrible at quizzes. So I said, that's fine, Gemma. Me and you can drink the bubbles and everybody else can answer the quiz questions.
Perfect.
So it's perfect.
No
so, but do, yeah, but do come along. Book onto that. If you follow, if you contact Kate at Athelbray, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E, Limited LTD on the Twitter or tweet us Bunker Extra or tweet Paul at Vanilla Web and we'll give you the details. Book on for the quiz. It's going to be fun. I mean, Chilston Park is an amazing venue. It's fabulous. And plus, it's going to be fun and a bit of quizness. You know, we might surprise ourselves.
I think we will.
Yeah. We've got Lisa, we've got Paul. Well, Paul's Google. You know, he's a human version of Google. So Paul knows everything. So between you lot, got it sorted. So fine, come along to that. We had a shout out from, where's it gone down here? where are you? Chips.
Chips and dinks.
Thank you. I really struggle every time saying that. Trouble is, once you've said it wrong once, it's in the back of your head and it just keeps coming out wrong every single time. So chips and dinks. If I say it slowly, I'm fine. The lovely Tony Burke out there. See, you hit it.
No.
Okay, you're having a little bit of a problem there with that microphone, are you?
Just technical details.
I think, yeah. Wasn't the whack good enough this time, Amanda? Okay.
Carry on talking.
Okay.
So, talking amongst ourselves. So, what else
is... Do some events, Richard.
Do some events. Okay, so I've got a couple of events. Wednesday the 30th of January at the Metro Bank in Maidstone between 6 and 7:30 p.m. Business Dr. Peter Searle will be hosting a free SF.
I'm back.
Oh,
carry on.
Connect event. At this event, Tracy Westill from Pecunia will be discussing cash forecasting and giving you a whistle-stop guide to taking you back to your business. To book, go to businessdoctor.co.uk and look for events on that website, or go to Eventbrite and search for the events in Maidstone and it'll come up.
Fantastic. Yeah, the Peter Searle with the Business Doctors, they run regular events for businesses. They're always free and they're always full of great advice. So they're always worth getting along to for sure. I can't believe it. I was trying to look for events and it's like, okay, now we're looking into February and March. What's going on out there? So actually, you've got the date ordered. I've got like later on this year. So do your other events there. Some dates for diaries, people.
Yep, dates for diary. The day after the Metro Bank event is Thursday the 31st of January at the George's Hotel in Chatham between 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. Learn to love yourself and others. Do you want to feel more confident and enjoy better relationships?
Oh, we're going to be doing this in a minute. That's Tracy's event.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Are you looking for love?
Thank you. Yeah.
She doesn't mind the plug.
Yeah, another plug and then plus more details in a minute. Yeah,
and I might go to that one. The final one is Wednesday the 6th of February at the Chinnockport Arms in New Romney at 10 a.m. Marsh networking over coffee. Very popular business event where it's networking over coffee and come and meet other businesses and make great connections. Search on Eventbrite Marsh networking. And just an added point is that that's something that I've had to learn to do more, is the networking piece.
Yeah.
I've gone to events and sort of take my information away and go, but now obviously it's both in the business interest and my development interest.
I think you go through phases with networking as well, don't you? I think you go and you rock up at some events and you just listen.
Yeah.
And other events.
Some you feel more comfortable at.
Yeah, it depends who's in the room and there's always a different feel.
Yeah, who you connect with. And again, that's all about relationships, isn't it? Which we're going to be talking about
a bit
later. So it's all coming together.
Absolutely. There was another one. Is it not there? Have I lost the piece of paper? There was one for Saturday, tomorrow.
Nope, I haven't got it.
Sorry.
I'm sure it's going to be a good one.
It is going to be a good one. I can't tell you what it is now. But we have been chatting out for the last couple of weeks. Oh, no, it's fine. I've got some dates for you to put in your diary. Now, some people like to plan ahead. So I want you to put these in your diary for later on. This one, though, is going to be awesome. It's Friday the 8th of March, which, does anybody know what day that is?
International Women's Day.
It is indeed. So what better way to celebrate with an International Women's Day event? Butterflies Events is teaming up with the Aspinall Foundation to bring you an International Women's Day event with a difference. We are hosting it at the stunning Port Lim Hotel on Reserve. I haven't been there for a couple of weeks, you know, Lisa.
Oh, I don't believe that.
I know, I'm going on Monday. I'm getting a bit of
withdrawal symptoms.
I am. Exactly. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't been for since before Christmas.
That's amazing. I don't know how you survived.
Don't know. It's crazy. So anyway, I'm going Monday. I need to come and do, you know, a little bit of a meeting about the event just so I can get get my kicks. But this event, ladies, this is going to be different. There's so many different events going on around International Women's Day, which is great. And I want to tell you about our one. So we have teamed up with the Aspinall Foundation. And we're going to be celebrating women in business, and it's about being inspired and about networking with other fabulous women in business. Now, to make things slightly different, what we're going to have at this event is we're going to have a panel discussion. So we've got a panel of some amazing women. We're just finalising the full lineup, but I know we have Global Marketing Director from Shell is coming. Mm-hmm. We have, this is really, I'm loving this, the Elephant Keeper from Howlett's, is a woman. She's going to be on the panel, which is great. We've got an amazing lawyer, HR specialist, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's going to be on the panel as well. And we've got a couple of going to be joining us. And it's going to be about actually, rather than just, you know, it's always nice to have speakers and hear their inspirational stories. But I think also it's really nice to have interaction from everybody. So we're going to be talking, you know, what do you want to talk about? What areas affect you? I find this really difficult because in all of my work in life, I've never noticeably come up against diversity at all in any that I needed to, you know, men doing a job that I shouldn't be, you know, I shouldn't be doing, because I've always done what I've wanted to do anyway, and I've always done it my way. So I've never, it's never highlighted to me that there's an issue with being a female in the working environment. So for me to understand what other people go through, I don't get it, but obviously I know it exists. But with this, it's going to be, you know, we're going to open the floor and discuss things, even down to, I heard on the news this morning that there's a big thing at the moment about a lot of women that have returned to work after having a baby, and they're either being fired very soon or losing their jobs very soon, or being made feel so uncomfortable that they've left the job. Mm. And I didn't realise that still went on in this day and age.
Or they go back in, but they have to go back in at a lower rate than they, they left at.
So there's still so much out there. So this day, we're going to be discussing. Of course, it wouldn't be an event at Portland without some networking with animals. We will be going on safari, people. Mm. Bring your cameras. And we will be doing lots more interacting, networking stuff around the Aspinall Foundation and learning out more about what the Aspinall Foundation is all about and the amazing work that they do. I'm so familiar with Aspinall Foundation, I forget that people don't actually, haven't even heard of it. And I find that amazing. So we are going to find out more about the amazing work that they do about rehabilitating and reintroducing wild animals and helping to prevent these animals becoming extinct. It's amazing what they do. It is just £45 for the full day, all the activities and lunch. All profits will be going to the Aspinall Foundation. But if you get in early, the early bird tickets are now available for just £39. So the bookings have started. People have started booking in already. If you go to butterfliesevents.co.uk/IWD event and find out more and get your tickets. So that's the 8th of March. It's 10 till 3. So it's a nice day event. Lots of stuff going on. May. So now we're leaping forward to May. I want you to put these dates in your diary. What, the 1st to the 3rd of May is Social Day. And you know what? These dates come around so fast. So get them in your diaries and get booked up. So Social Day is the UK's most engaging social media event, 1st of May to 3rd of May, with over 30 sessions and two fantastic drink receptions for all for the cost of one ticket. This is for people that know about social media but need to know more up-to-date stuff about what's going on. If you go to socialday.co.uk, you can find out more there. On Thursday, the 9th of September, the Venues and Events Expo Southeast is the one-day exhibition for event professionals, PAs, VAs and business owners who want to meet great venues and suppliers for their events. Bookings are open now if you go to venueseventsexpo.co.uk. And Friday the 31st of May is the next SEDSE Live, and the registration is now open for that. Learn more about what's going on in the social media world from TV commentator Zoe Cairns and her team and some other great speakers if you go to zcsocialmedia.co.uk. So there we go, that's your year sorted. I have got one for September, but I might mention that later for you because we want to hear. I know, well, you know, it goes so fast though, doesn't it?
You know, it's the end of January. In your diary,
put the dates in the diary so you've got them in your mind, mm-hmm. and then you know what's coming up. So, Richard, security. Now we've got quite a good link here with the security and the personal side of things. Absolutely. So, what are we going to be talking about with you today?
I think it's going to be a combination of revisiting some of the topics that we've said in the past, but making sure that we really relate it to people. You know, people is our business, and we're certainly going to look at other aspects of that in sort of loving yourself and loving others. But firstly, it starts with making sure that you get the right people in your organisation. And what does that look like? And yes, I'm going to be a bit doom and gloom. We want to be able to trust people. We want to be able to make sure that we engage the right type of people. But we, you know, we need to do our sort of due diligence, if you like, on those people and make sure that we're giving them every opportunity to give a good account of themselves, and we know the people that we're engaging, and that has a snowball effect on everything right the way down to, you know, recruiting the right type of talent, making sure that they are who they say they are. Because there are people out there that leave things off of CVs, and that becomes a bit of a problem for large and small businesses. But then you know what type of culture that you're trying to put into the organisation as well. And if they've got the right environment and you're providing them all of the information, in my view, if you're providing them all the information that's required from a policy and procedural point of view, you're giving them the right level of platform for them to, you know, enhance their skills, enhance their development, and be the best version of themselves. And then that's where I suppose that they could start looking a bit greater at, you know, what themselves is about within that organisation.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, so just listening to what you were saying there, so values is really important. Yeah. So knowing, does the person that you're going to employ, so taking it from your aspect, do their values match the values of the organisation? Are they going to be the right fit for you? So,
I'll argue most cases that there's a connection to security wherever or whatever you look at, because I'm a true believer of that. But it's trying to make sure that you know, and we've discussed it, but that we give all of our staff the right information to what happens if something nasty comes into their inbox, or what happens if they're approached by somebody outside of the office and all of that type of stuff. So it's around trying to give staff the right level of support, and the way that we would do that within the industry is ensuring that we create a secure culture. And there's many topics that are easily transferable, and it starts with HR and right the way through to, you know, some of the financial practices that you've got going in. You know, I don't want to be able to spend money without the right level of permission set, because then I'd feel at risk if it wasn't, and, you know, and everyone would start looking at me. So it does start to connect. But I touched upon it earlier on. One of the things that I found, and, you know, we've had we've had some clients that have fallen foul of this, and they've responded in various different ways, which is always interesting. But we touched upon it before going live. It's the emotional impact that receiving something nasty in someone's email box. And we, you know, last show that I was on, yes, it was Christmas, and we did make light of the topic, but it was a serious topic. And, you know, and yes, we can say it's about passwords, but you shouldn't overlook the impact that somebody receiving that in their inbox. Firstly, have we created the right environment for them to report it so that they feel that there's a support mechanism in place, or do they deal with it themselves? Do we offer them the right type of mental health first aid at work, where they get that additional emotional support? And then from that, how do we develop a plan together to be able to combat that and make everyone feel secure again? Because that's what we want to do. We want that feeling as we go to sleep at night with the covers around us. We want to feel secure. And businesses are really good at doing a lot of the physical stuff and some of the technology stuff. Mm. And, you know, quite often they think that's the fix, but ultimately it's people at the heart of it that make that stuff work. And it starts with recruitment. It starts with ensuring that the talent that you've got believe that they share the same values, that they've got the competencies, they've got the technical ability to be able to do that. And then the continuation of improvement and support throughout. It's not just a fire and forget.
Yes, but as new things come along, it takes you by surprise. Absolutely. I mean, that was we had a phishing attack, which we were talking about earlier. And it's surprising how different people react. Some of us would say, oh, that's clearly a phishing email, and I'm just going to delete that. But others will take it, you know, actually be very upset at the invasion into their world, into their privacy, and the shock of it. And that for a moment, because there only has to be a coincidence in that email and something that's true for them to think that this is real. And so the shock that someone's invaded your life, you know, is a big thing.
It is. And you know, criminals out there now have become more cutthroat, playing on those emotions. And again, we touched upon it last show around in trying to persuade people that, yes, there's enough genuine information in there that actually the activity that they're talking about, which may be viewing porn or they've got indecent images of them or whatever,
yeah,
they straight away they're playing on that emotion to be able to trigger their response. And even the most sensible down-to-earth people would be affected by that.
That's what we were
regardless
saying.
Regardless whether they were right or wrong.
You know that you've not visited, or have you visited a porn? No, of course I haven't. Well, you know, just you know, get a grip and just understand that, that's what they're playing on.
Yeah.
They want you to feel like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose the from an organisational point of view, it's how you react as the employer and what level of support and emotional burden you obtain from them.
Well, it was a big learning curve for me because I didn't realise, you know, that someone would react quite that way.
Yeah, and so I constantly have to check myself because you become quite blasé at it because you see a lot of this and I've seen stuff in the past and I've worked with colleagues that have done other stuff that you sort of almost are numb to it.
Mm.
But everybody reacts differently to many, many different things within the security, let alone news, when it becomes more personable and lands in their inbox, which most of us run our lives via that, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then that is a real invasion and that's something that needs to be carefully managed because failing to manage it doesn't create the right secure environment, is what I think.
No. And that's good. And that's a really good point. As I say, it's not just about what comes in. It's making sure that people that work in your company understand and how to deal with it.
What to do with
and if they get affected, you know, if they, you know, take it personally and need to deal with it. So definitely another good point. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
Now, we are going to go to a musical break now before we come back and we're going to be speaking with Tracy and Lisa. We're going to sort of touch again on what Tracy does just to remind people who missed the show. I don't know how they missed the last show, but just in case. And then we're going to be talking about the introduction that Lisa made to a very special lady, Sue Plumtree, and how out of that an amazing event has been created. So we're going to be back after this break. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 25th of January. It is cold. It is wet. It is miserable out there. But in here, we are all smiling and full of sunshine. So this song has been chosen by Tracy. We'll be back right after this.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. Never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Because the greatest love of all is them well and let them lead the way.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 25th of January. Yes, this is actually the last Friday in January. Yay. And then next week it's February. Woohoo! Valentine's, here we come. Just a reminder to all those men out there.
Just in time for the event.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. I am joined in the studio by our fabulous co-host, our security expert, Richard Bell from Ten Intelligence.
Good morning.
it always sounds like it's too early for you in the morning. It's like, come on, it's like 11:30, Richard. Wake up.
Good morning.
Our guest today in the studio is the lovely Tracy Ferguson.
Hello.
I always forget to put your title in, which I always forget what your title is, career and personal development coach.
Yes. Well, actually, it might be the other way around. So personal development coach and career coach. That has really, I think, taken off for me over the last year or so. And alongside that, so I also write and deliver my own Be Your Best Self workshops, which I do work with Optivo for those. And I work with children as well. I'm developing some kids' strength cards, which I'm really, really excited about. And started to do some events as well.
Just amazing what you do.
This quarter has been just so exciting for me.
And it's only the 25th of January.
I know.
Which is great. It's fantastic. So and obviously we do have Lisa with us today. Yes. We won't forget you, Lisa.
I'm an extra on the extra.
Our extra today.
Well, actually, Lisa can frame, I think, the conversation that we're going to have, because it was the lovely Lisa who first met Sue.
Yeah. So what we'll do is let's just very briefly tell people, apart from obviously what you've already said, but you know, you capture what it is that you do, working with different variety of people and helping them and coaching them. And then what we'll do is then Lisa can introduce us to Sue, and then how she introduced you guys, and then we can learn more about this amazing event you've got coming up. And you've got about 5 minutes to do all of that. No, okay, you got a little bit longer than that.
So yeah, just talking a bit more about myself and what I do. So I forgot to say as well about the voluntary work that I do, which is a huge part of my life. So particularly over the last 3 or 4 years, when at a time when I felt that I didn't really value myself, I think volunteering is something that does allow you not only to help other people by giving back, but also to allow you to see what it is that you can give. So I'm a volunteer for the Prince's Trust. I have a lovely mentor there called Kevin, who's an exec for the Prince's Trust. And through that, I've had an opportunity to do so much. And I think it was Kevin's instigation challenging me to write some workshops, which I'd never done before in my life. And I wrote some workshops for the Trust. So that is really the catalyst that started the stuff that I'm doing now. So thank you very much to Kevin. And also help. So normally Fridays I'm at my literacy club. So I help to run a literacy club in Sittingbourne for people that either are unable to read or write, or have limited reading and writing skills. And that is just so amazing to see people, the difference it makes in their lives, the confidence it gives them. And that really is what my work is all about. It's about helping people to realise what they can do, what their potential is, and that they can be those confident people who've got so much to give.
Say, in a nutshell, you're just an amazing lady. you give so much and you help so many people. And I guess you've discovered this is just something, as you say, you're passionate about and you love doing. And a big part of in life in general, no matter whether you're running a business or whatever you're doing, is having that confidence in yourself.
Yes.
Which I think so many people, that's what so many people lack.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons across the board. And I'm sure we've all been there at one point in our lives where we're doubting ourselves all the time and we just don't have that faith in ourselves. So you're helping these people reestablish. And as you said before, you're now becoming more of a personal development coach rather than
the career
side of things. But obviously all of that encompasses together. Yeah.
And I still do career coaching like one-to-one. So, and obviously with the trust as well, with the voluntary work that I do. So yeah, I've got a career coaching session this afternoon. So that is still something that I do, something that I'm still very passionate about. But it's the personal development and the creativity that I'm coming up with, which is like so exciting. You know, the stuff that I'm thinking, yes, I've got a tool, or I can develop a tool that is going to help people and help to get a message across. And that's what I love.
Which I'm doing. So just to briefly look at it, what would you, as a career coach, what is it, how do you coach people? Is it, you know, how they should look, dress and act at interviews or work? Or
it really depends on what it is that the client wants. So it may be that they want a really great CV that they, and again, that's about bringing out, and I know if Paul's listening, he would be thinking about, you know, the transferable skills. So it's really important not only to tell people on that CV the skills that you've got, but put them into context, which a lot of people don't do. They'll just write down everything they've ever done, but actually not say, you know, I'm really proud of this because this is the change that I made for the business, or the change that I made for somebody that I was working with. So it can be how to present yourself at interviews. It can be even just trying to really nail down what type of job you want to do, because some people will just be lost and you know, not know what their career direction is.
Cool. And so, I think we've lost you again, Amanda. So,
That's interesting. Would you say that you'd have? I talk about versions of self.
Yes.
And when you were speaking there, it just struck me that, you know, a group of people, and I'm thinking more military personnel that are coming out of services. What I've always found is that sometimes the way that they've portrayed their CV is very sort of clinical and quite military-based.
Yes.
But I know that they've got all of those skills right the way through, from leadership to teamwork and all of that. And it's sometimes it's
teasing
the use of language.
Them out of people. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Use of language
I would, on that I would say as well. So if it is a specific job that you are going for, look at that job spec. Take out the language that's in there. If you've got those the desirable traits in there, so if it's an IT and they're looking for a particular type of program and you've got that, you put that in your CV. But I think it's also, I give an example of a young man that I worked with at the Prince's Trust. And he'd got a gap on his CV. So I said to him, oh, you know, that you've got a year gap there. What did you do in that year? Oh, but I don't want to put it on there. But it turned out that he had been coaching a football team, a youth football team. And then talking to him, you know, got to find out all of the skills that he'd used and how he'd developed this team. And then he decided that he wanted to put it on his CV. And I got some feedback from his mentor saying, no, he was just so amazed and really thankful for that CV. And I think also on his part of his CV, somebody else had written it for him, but he couldn't explain to me, you know, what that meant. So it's about making sure that CV is in your language. It's still got to be professional, but it's in your language.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're able to talk to it.
Absolutely. You should know it inside out. Yeah.
Because that's the thing, at the end of the day, it's about you and not just what credentials you've got or skills you've got, but what you are as a person and what you're going to contribute to that business.
It's going back to the story, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's where I've done interviewing at the University of Greenwich as part of their degree course. They have to have some mock interview experience. And we've had chaps that have come in and sat down and basically told a story. And you kind of forget that you're even marking them. You put your pen down because it's so interesting. You're listening. But then there are other people that don't see it or don't recognise their, you know, the good characteristics or the good skills that they've got.
Yeah.
And therefore can't talk about
it. Well, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Because you would do all of this work to make them ready and fit for an interview.
Yeah.
But just there's a lot of bad interviewers out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it goes both ways, doesn't it?
It does go both ways.
Yeah. And that's a useful point for people to remember and to be reminded.
Yeah, you could smash it.
Actually, this is a two-way thing.
If you're opposite someone that's not giving you anything back, it should be as seamless as a conversation and a story, and you sort of mentally tick, I got that over. But there's so many people, and I've had many experiences of people that have just been poor interviewers. You know, and that's with a list of questions in front of them. They just haven't been able to relate during that interview.
But I think that's because sometimes interviews are quite clinical, and maybe we should find a different way of interviewing. So if I was at an interview and I was being interviewed, I would ask the interviewer a question about their experience of working for that organisation and try and get them to maybe loosen up a little bit.
Yeah. It's a difficult one, isn't it? And again, I've worked in many different environments, and the environment I'm in now, I could not apply what is a standard interview because I wouldn't get the right answers. So it's being, as a recruiter, it's being brave enough to be able to say, well, I need a conversation. I need to be able to afford the person that's sitting opposite enough opportunity to be able to draw the information out.
Yeah.
And maybe I might need to, depending on what the role is,
you need
I might
to need look to for certain things, test, don't you? Yes. I always have four things that I look for. But but the conversation could go in any direction, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I certainly want that.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to have a conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And so, as you say, you've now looking and developing more of the personal development side. And it is all interlinked, isn't it? Because if you're feeling more confident and comfortable about yourself, then going out there and, you know, starting a business or looking for a career is going to be a lot easier. And so then that's when, how long ago was you introduced to Sue by Lisa?
Last year sometime, last year.
Maybe September?
I kind of think it was summery.
So, it was warmer than it is now.
Yes.
That's not hard, Tracy, that's not hard. So go there. Lisa, why don't you obviously explain a little bit about Sue, because unfortunately Sue couldn't be here today.
Sue couldn't be here today because she's running her U3A group, which she's very committed to. So I kind of came along to man her corner, as it were. So Sue is in her 70s. I've known her for quite some time now, probably 8 years maybe. And I was attracted to her because she was so very different to me. She was very chilled. There was always a reason for something. And was a really good connector.
Can I just stop you just 1 minute there? You said somebody who's so different to you, who's really chilled. Is there anybody more chilled than you, Lisa?
Do you think I'm chilled?
Yes.
See, there's assumptions, because we're going to be talking about assumptions.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
It's how people come across and how you're perceived. Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
Well, anyway, I saw in her the opposite of me, and I guess that's what attracted me to her. So we developed this relationship, which I'm very grateful for. She sees things that I don't see. And that always amazed me and intrigued me, because it made me think about things that I wouldn't have thought about ever. So I've known her for ages. She was a lady trapped in a loveless marriage for many years, and one day decided to do something about it. Very late. I mean, she was married 60. For 37 years. But she did do something about it. It had made her very unwell, etc., all of those things. But she stood up for herself, did something about it, and changed her life. And God, what an amazing thing to do, to have the guts and courage and confidence to do something like that. She's written books. I've got her book here right next to me called Open Your Heart. And she's just passionate about relationships now. So she is a relationship coach, and spends her time coaching people and attending events, pretty much like Tracy, to help people become the better version of themselves. And so when I met Tracy, Tracy was a storyteller at one of my events, the Business Diaries, and I connected with Tracy. Tracy then came into Telcare and did some work at Telcare, didn't you? And we built a relationship. And every time I met with Sue and every time I met with Tracy, I thought, do you know what? You remind me a bit of Sue, or do you know what? You remind me a bit of Tracy. So I thought, well, gosh, why don't I get them together and see if they hit it off? They're either going to love each other or hate each other. So we did. I mentioned it to both of them, and they said, yeah, I'd like to meet her. So we got together, they met up, and as a result, we've got a workshop coming up on February the 9th.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So it's see, Mike's working now. Mouth's not working.
I'll come and whack you.
Give me a whack around the head, please.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah. It's a combination of similar interests, but where a collaboration works really well because your outcome you both want is the same. You want to help people.
Yes.
But then it's bringing your individual skill sets.
Yes.
And the different areas you work on together.
And I think Sue and I are very different in our delivery, which works as well. So we've got similar experiences. I'm probably about 20 years behind Sue in terms of, you know, the experiences that I've had, but some of them have been very similar. But yes, in terms of the workshop, so it's called Learn to Love Yourself and Others, because I think that we can fall in love, but actually learning to love is something very different. And we were talking about this in the car on the way up, but our role models, so what we believe to be loving relationships or relationships with anybody, so it could be with friends, with family, with work colleagues, are very much based on our experiences when we're growing up. And I think for me, the role models that I had meant that I didn't understand, I certainly didn't believe that I was worth anything. I didn't love or even like myself. And yet, so that's in personal relationships, but yet on the outside, people would never have known that. So that's where assumptions comes in. Because I didn't share any of my experiences or tell people how I was feeling, people would never know what was happening in my personal life. And so what Sue and I really want to do is to talk about what it is that you need in a relationship. So understanding what both you need and either your partner needs or your friends need or your family need, and where you are on the sliding scale on that. So if I give you an example of one of my lovely friends is actually designing my kids' cards for me. So we were talking about various things, and she was talking about her real need for adventure versus her husband's need for having that security. So she would love to sell up the house, go around the world for the year with the kids, use that as a year for educating the children. But he finds that really quite a scary proposition. So because they have got a really loving relationship and they both understand that their needs are at the far ends of the scale, they meet in the middle. So they go away for weekends. They go on a fabulous holiday once a year. And they're lucky enough that they can afford to do that. But that's how certain needs met. If we don't understand what our needs are in a relationship and what makes us happy, then how can we have a healthy relationship? And I think both Sue and I didn't have healthy relationships because we didn't understand that. And Sue has done a lot of work with a coach. I've done a lot of self-development work myself, starting probably about 3 years ago. And I was already in a relationship with the lovely Mike, so I hope he's listening.
I'm sure together. He is.
7 years on the 31st of
7 years.
July? No, 31st of March, sorry. but it really wasn't until about 3 years ago that I started to realise that I needed to, in order to have a really, really fulfilling relationship, to turn a great relationship into something that was really meaningful. So I had to take away those assumptions and to allow myself to be vulnerable, to start to like who I was. And then you eventually, you know, it can then progress to love. But you've got to start with that liking and respecting first of all. Mm. And that started with Mike saying to me, because I would always deflect a compliment, even at work. If somebody said to me, Tracy, fabulous job, you know, I'm really proud of you. And I said, but my team did that.
Mm.
And I could never take a compliment. And Mike just said to me, Tracy, and this is when he probably told me that I was beautiful or something like that, and I would have deflected that. And he said, why can't you see what everybody else sees in you? And it was at that point that I didn't say anything, but I really started then to think about the impact that I have by not valuing myself. So it doesn't just affect me. I didn't realise that it affects people around me as well.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely when I really started to think about myself and changing the way that I felt about myself, which was quite difficult
you have to become vulnerable. Sometimes you have to become vulnerable in a relationship to understand where it is that that relationship is going. But I can now say that I am happier than I've ever been. Seriously.
And I guess at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants. Yeah. We want to do, we all just want to be happy. We all want to be happy. Yeah. We want to be loved. We want to love. And
I think that starts with just understanding, you know, what makes you happy, what your basic needs are. And there are, Sid will talk about this in the workshop. There are five basic needs. And sharing. So it's an opportunity for people to share their experience as well. So we'll be sharing things that have worked for her. I'll be sharing things that have worked for me. It's going to be very, very interactive. You get lunch as well. So
good. Yeah. We always like a bit of a lunch going on there. And I guess that's the other thing as well, isn't it? It's there's no set way for anybody. No. But it's by hearing other people's experiences and what worked for them, then you can try it for yourself and see if it works for you.
Yeah, and I think the good thing is that it's not rocket science either.
No.
It's you know, pretty simple stuff, with all due respect.
It is.
But it's stuff that we don't ask ourselves or we don't give the time of day. Mm. We don't, you know, what is it that your partner needs to feel loved?
Yeah, and that often
you know, do you know how much time have you spent thinking about that really, really easy stuff? But you know, could you come out with an answer straight away? Probably not.
No, and that's the thing at the end of the day, isn't it? And most people think about everybody else before themselves, and they forget that it actually starts with themselves. How they feel about themselves will then reflect out to everybody else and everybody else in their lives. So
that cascade effect.
Mm, absolutely. So it is on Saturday the 9th of February.
Yes. Give yourself the gift of love this Valentine's Day.
Love
and it. And yeah, it is, as Lisa said, you know, this isn't about trying to teach you something. This is about sharing. It is a sharing workshop.
Yeah, which is brilliant. And it's just 10 till 2.30 at the St George Hotel in Chatham. And the early bird still going? Or they
yes, early bird until 31st of March, which is next
March.
What, January. I've got,
you are deceased. I'm glad it's not just my mouth not working today.
31st of January.
Yeah.
Yes, which is next Thursday.
And that's just £20, which is an amazing price for the whole day. And you're going to be, just sharing and coaching these people,
which
is fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything else about it you want to say? Because we've got a couple of minutes, or one minute. We covered everything.
We were talking in the car about assumptions, weren't we? And the danger of assumptions that everything's okay in your relationship because you're so busy doing the school run, going to swimming galas, football training, et cetera, your day's like planned.
And I love the way you're ticking off the things that you've gone through in your life.
Yeah, piano lessons, but you know, you don't, you think, oh, well, that's fine, you know, he's okay, he's at home or he's doing that or what have you, he'll get some dinner on or, or his days have gone okay, because you're so wrapped up in your own thing. But it doesn't hurt to just sit down at the end of the day and touch base and say, you know, well, how did that go today? You know, what happened today?
See, I love doing that. I love like catching up what you've been up to. Yeah. Other people aren't quite so open with it, of sharing. How was your day, Bean?
Right.
But I think something like maybe planning a date night, and you don't have to go out for a date night. You can get dressed up and have dinner indoors. So, you know, just something a little bit different.
We do dancing in the kitchen on a Friday night.
Yeah.
I love that idea. There we go, Paul. Dancing in the kitchen.
Dancing in the kitchen on a Friday night.
And this is
our salsa stuff.
So it is, you know, about romantic relationships as well, but it is about other relationships. Yeah. And the most important relationship is that one with yourself.
Mm, absolutely. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing with us. It's going to be an absolutely awesome event.
Here. Thank you.
Such an important thing that just so many people don't think about. And that, you know, they think about everything else that's going wrong in their lives and often blame everybody else about what's going wrong in their life.
And don't take responsibility.
Yeah. And I don't know whether it's the journey of running a business or life or what happens, but I think you get to a point where you realise actually how you look, how you feel, how you act is completely up to you and how your mindset is and how you work. Yeah. So, and by helping people that want that, realise that and want the help, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and you take that time for you as well, because you are important.
Exactly. You're an amazing lady. keep on doing the amazing work that you do, Tracy. Thank you. Jenna, she's going to take the compliment now.
Thank you.
Just yes, exactly. Exactly.
We do that in the workshop as well.
Yeah,
no, that was a really huge
thing. It's quite
thing
funny. Unfortunately, we run out of time, but I love that subject because it is quite funny. It's, your instant reaction always is, "Oh, that you look lovely," or "That looks nice," and you always want to give a compliment straight back.
Yeah.
You
I've deflect. Had this ages.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, yeah, just put it on.
Or what do they want?
Yeah, exactly. But to find out more, Tracy, give us a quick shout out if people want to find out more about you and how to get hold of the tickets.
Yeah, so I'm, if you want to look me up on Twitter, I'm Tazzy, TAZI64, and search event on Eventbrite, Learn to Love, and you'll be able to get tickets there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And we have come to the end of another show. There we go. We managed to make it through. Defaulted microphone and everything. So thank you so much, Tracy and Lisa, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you to Richard for sharing the more security stuff. I am the most paranoid person in the world now, by the way. We'll be back next week with Mark Goldfinch and another great guest. Don't forget to listen to Paul on Tuesday from 1 to 3. Have a great weekend, everybody. Snuggle up warm. It's going to be cold and wet out there.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.